I ask you to take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. While you're turning there, we're certainly thankful to hear the good reports of the revival thus far. I told some of the brethren, I think Brother Decker made a mistake. He should have saved the best for last. I really appreciate our dear brother that's been here. So you pray for us, God would help us. Isaiah 66 and verse number 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith God? Rejoice ye with the Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. My message tonight deals with the subject travailing for souls. Travailing for souls. What is Zion? Zion is the church of the living God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, 12th chapter, verse number 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The Bible here lets us know, as soon as Zion, the church, travailed, she brought forth her children. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church of God. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There's probably no greater natural miracle than a birth of a little baby. What a miracle that is. You cannot explain the feeling of seeing the birth of your child. I've been there when all eight of mine was born. The only miracle that's greater is a supernatural miracle. It's a birth of a young boy, young girl, man or woman when they're born into the kingdom of God. Oh, to see a lost person born into the kingdom of God is the greatest miracle of all miracles. The church giving birth to the lost is likened to a woman giving birth to a child. Paul said in the book of Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse number 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Soul travail is that impassioned deep level of intercession. I'm talking about prayer that affects the spiritual atmosphere so that the lost can hear the gospel, repent of their sins, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe through intercession, I believe through prayer, we can actually push back the blinding oppression power of the enemy so that the gospel is able to penetrate the heart of the sinner. Amen. Effective soul winning can never be done without a burden, anguish, and true weeping for souls in prayer. Amen. Life is never intended to end in itself. It is only justification according to God's law and principle is that it reproduces. And so the law of travail is linked with reproduction. That's what God wants. That runs through the whole realm of grace and through a large part of the realm of nature. But if there's no reproduction, when there's no reproduction, it'll never happen, amen, without travail. Souls will not be born to the kingdom of God without travail. So travail becomes the basis of the justification of existence. If we are without travail, there's no justification for our existence. We must travail in giving birth to the lost, as a woman does giving birth to her child. As soon as Zion travailed or had birth pains, she brought forth her children. If there's no pain, then there's no gain. So let's look at some of the benefits of travailing in birth. Friend, there's never been a physical birth without pain. And there's never going to be a spiritual birth without pain. One of my daughter-in-laws was pregnant, and her water broke, and she went to the hospital. They said, yes, the baby's on its way. And she was laying there in the bed, you know, and them pains started in, and she started getting up out of the bed. She said, I'm not doing this. I'm going home. And my son said, you've waited too late now. You're going to have to go through with this. She just thought she'd go home, forget about it. But it's not like that way. Amen. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter and verse number 16, he said there unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Friend, you would not be here today if your mother had not gone through the pain and discomfort and the sorrow that it took to bring you into this world. Friend, there's never been a person born into the kingdom of God that didn't have a little pain, some discomfort, some sorrow. There was some praying going on. There was some travailing going on. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody travailed for us. That's why we're here tonight. I believe we ought to do the same for someone else. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Think of the sorrow and the pain that the Father and the Son went through, that we could have spiritual life. Friend, God will not bring you to the point of delivery and not give you birth if you travail in birth. As soon, I like that, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You know what else the Bible says? In the book of Psalms, chapter 126 and verse number 3, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yes, my friend, there's no greater joy in this world than to hold a newborn baby in your arms. One of the greatest joys in the ministry is to be able to be there when someone in the congregation has a little baby and see the joy that it brings on the mother and the father's heart and life. But the greatest of all joys is to watch some mother that's been praying for her daughter and watch that daughter come to an altar prayer and born again. Oh, the look on the mother's face and the look on the father's face when that son who's been wayward and out in sin, when he comes home, and the look on the wife's face when the husband gets saved, and vice versa. Amen. The Bible lets us know, amen, in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter and verse number 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And the Bible goes on, and Luke 15 and verse number 10 says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, than over 100 people that needs no repentance. The Bible lets us know also in the book of John, the 16th chapter and verse number 21, that a woman, when she travails, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. The joy of seeing a lost soul saved. will cause you to forget the pain, the discomfort, the sorrow, amen, that was involved in giving birth to that person in the kingdom of God. The only time the mother gives milk is after she has given birth. The church can only satisfy if it is giving birth. The baby is secure in the arms of the parents. There's a peace, there's a contentment that it can't find anywhere else but in the arms of especially its mother. Oh, the comfort and peace when a baby is in the arms of its mother. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The church is the mother of us all. Amen. There's no growing or a sustaining revival without travailing prayer. Did you know that the price for revival is still the same? It's the same as it's always been. You know what it is? The price for revival is travail. I think of the unsung heroes, souls that travail. They're back in the closet. They're not in the pulpit. Amen. There's many exciting historical accounts of revivals that happen because the saints of God were moved to pray. The saints of God were moved to travail for souls. The saints of God got under a burden and great things happened. When Jonathan Edwards gave that famous sermon, Hands, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, oh, the Spirit of God was poured out in a great way. God so manifested his power. God so manifested his holiness. During the preaching of that message, the elders threw their arms around the pillars of the church and cried, Lord, save us, because we're slipping down into hell. Oh, it was a powerful message. We tend to focus on that great sermon and we think about the power of the Holy Spirit that was poured out when that brother preached that message. But what helped pave the way for such a great move of the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you what it was. It was soul travail. A lot of people leave that out. They just talk about that great message. What about the soul travail? The whole congregation of the church was in fervent prayer the previous night, all night long. You don't hear too much about that, do you? When we look into the history, we see some of the men and women of God who successfully brought souls into the salvation experience through their travail, through their prayer. I'm aware of some of the unsung heroes traveling behind the scenes in secret and souls being saved. Some time back, I was called to go to Florida and preach a funeral of a dear brother that used to be in a congregation in Tennessee. He was a wonderful brother. Didn't cause me any problem whatsoever. And the pastor said to me, said his wife told him that there was not one day in their married life that he didn't call my name out in prayer. I didn't know that. From time to time, he said, Brother Larry, I want you to know I'm praying for you. We don't know who's really carrying the burden many times, who's doing the travailing and praying for souls. Although most of you who take prayer for the souls of lost men and women, you do it seriously. You're not looking for recognition. You're not looking for rewards. You do it because you have a burden for souls. But I still want to say the Lord has eternal rewards reserved for that person who prays for sinners and travails for souls back behind the scenes. Amen. There were fervent prayers in that upper room before the day of Pentecost came. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, what happened? 3,000 people got saved. But before that time, it wasn't just Peter's message. Before that time, they was praying, they was travailing, in the upper room. Shall we never see such things again? Well, I'm telling you, God's arm is not shortened that he cannot save. God's the same today as he was on the day of Pentecost. Amen. What God has done in the past, he can do again. Let me tell you something, friend. Travail implies something costly. God has written in the universe this law that anything that is of him, whether in creation or in grace, has a price attached to it. It's a costly thing. It's infinitely precious and valuable. It's worth suffering for. I believe souls being saved is worth travailing for. What we get cheaply and easily, we do not really love. But that which costs and binds our hearts to it becomes a matter of the heart, becomes a matter of love. And so by travail, the soul is saved from lightness. The soul is saved from carelessness. The soul is saved from cheapness and brought to recognize that there's something here that's infinitely precious. The love of Christ doth me constrain to seek the wandering souls of men with cries, entreaties, tears to save, to snatch them from the fiery wave. What does this travail of the church imply? An intense, prayerful desire for the salvation of men and women, boys and girls. Do we tonight have an intense, prayerful desire for the lost that's all about us? It's a strong, unwavering faith. Why, somebody said, is this travail necessary? If there is no labor, there is no profit. And it is in the natural world, so it is in the spiritual world. I ask you, my friend, can you put your finger upon any instance in the Bible where there had been a falling away, where God moved without travail? I don't know of an instance in the Word of God when there'd been a falling away where God sent revival without the people humbling themselves, seeking the face of God and praying. It is the law of birth, you see, and it relates to the spiritual world, the purpose of God as much as any other realm. Every fresh measure of Christ, every bit of spiritual increase is fraught with a fresh baptism into his passion. How's this travail realized? It's more than just desiring it. You must fix your attention upon the facts adapted to adduce it. What will be the results of this travail? The church will increase. Listen, when the church is really anxious for conversions to Christ, sinners will soon become anxious to be converted. Sinners will not become anxious to be converted until the saints become anxious for the conversion of the sinners. We had a midwife at our house with several of our children. And often the midwife says, don't associate your pain with the environment. Because the environment that you're in is what you need in order to bring forth a healthy baby. Everything you need, the midwife said, is right here in this place of your greatest pain. Today, I say the same thing to the church of God. Don't associate your pain. Don't associate your labor. Don't associate your travail with the environment. Don't allow Satan to trick you into leaving the proper place of travail and delivery. The midwife often says, cry out, travail, birth it out. must understand that Zion is God's church. It has a womb that is impregnated with the purpose and plan of God that he wants executed in the earth. Therefore, God is calling us as the church that will cry out and travail so we can see souls born into the kingdom of God. God's looking for a sound of wailing coming from Zion. Crying is a dimension of prayer and one of the languages of travail. Somebody said that tears are a language that God understands. Crying is an indication of the travail, and the travail signifies that there will be a birthing out. As it's released to prayer, crying brings an intensity that gets God's attention. To this day, if one of my daughters or my wife cries, it gets my attention. You want to pull on my heartstrings to see one of my daughters cry, even one of my grandchildren, right? I believe it gets God's attention when he sees his church travailing, weeping, going forth weeping. Travail is a place in prayer where you labor in the spirit to position yourself to release what God has placed in your spirit. It's intense. It's a place of positioning ourselves in order to birth the baby. Birthing out is that time after crying and travailing that God allows you to bring forth through prayer in the spirit that which he has placed in your spirit. So I say tonight to the body of Christ, it's time for us to cry out and travail and birth out what God has been allowing you to carry. When you pray, especially during intercession, you're sowing seeds of intimacy with God. And the Bible says that the Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. When you invest quality time with God, conceiving the seed of his word, friend, you'll be able to operate from a higher level or a dimension. Friend, if you will, great things will happen. You will experience God's supernatural power in your life. There will be comfort and peace and contentment within the church when the church gives birth. We need to be wrestlers with God. Wrestle for souls. We need to become like Jacob said, like Jacob was in the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Lord, I'm not gonna turn loose till you give us souls. I'm gonna hold on, God. He wrestled with God. Sometimes I believe we ought to wrestle with God. We need to travail and say, I'm not letting up until you give us souls. I want you to bless me, God, with souls. I want you to bless me with seeing those around me, my family, my friends, the brothers and sisters in the church that have lost family. Lord, we want to see them saved. What we need to be doing is boiling the water, sterilizing the instruments, getting ready to give birth as the church. But are we willing to endure the birth pains? My daughter-in-law wasn't willing to endure the birth pains. She's ready to get out of there. The Bible says in 2 Kings, the 19th chapter, verse number 3, and they said unto him, thus saith Ezekiel. This is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Tonight, will we give birth? Will we give birth? Will we travail for souls? If the church can be satisfied without conversions, we will have no conversions. We're satisfied without conversions, we won't have conversion. A church must either be fruitful or rot. And all the things a rotten in church is the most offensive to God. Will we, as the church, get under the spirit of travail? Thank you, Father, for helping us bring the message. We believe this is the message you laid upon our heart.